Glory to God. May I bring this thing down here? I can move it, because I'm going to lay my Bible, and I don't know if I'm going to follow it or not. You all right? And I got one over here, too. I don't know if I'm going to follow it or not, but I got one of those. I finally got one of those iPads a few years ago. Hallelujah. I look at my wife. You know, she's a year and a few months younger than me. And I keep asking God, too, when are you going to let us slow down a little bit? And in fact, I've intended to do that. Well, we haven't done it yet. And, you know, I made a mistake 2 years ago in January. I made a mistake of starting writing every day on Facebook. I first did it in English, and then after a while, I realized I needed to do it in French because all these French people kept sending me these comments, and then the Spanish, and so now for a year and a few months, we've been doing it every day in three languages, English, French, and Spanish, and as a result of that, I don't know when we're going to have a day off. I'm just joking. No, it's fun. And by the way, if you want to check in on that, it's just Eugene May on Facebook. Every day I post a different small teaching, four paragraphs and a scripture or a verse of a song or something. And the paragraphs are very simple. And sort of like that book that I wrote there, it's a very simple book, but I believe it's something that God wants people to digest. So anyway, if you ever get on Facebook and you want to go and look up Eugene May and ask me to be a friend, I'll be a friend. Hallelujah. I'm not a friend to everybody that's asked me to be friends, though, because a couple of times I've responded, boy, they've got a good credential. See, I always go to their page and look and see what's there.
Yes, sir.
It looks good. It's got scripture on it and stuff. And then a few days later, that person makes a comment and posts a picture, and that I said, I don't want nobody in the world to see that picture. And so I go and unfriend them. And I hate to have to do that, but I do unfriend them sometimes because only friends can make comments on my site. So anyway. But if you want that, it's there. That's all the announcements I'm making for this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I was listening very carefully to what Pastor was saying and also to what my wife was saying. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem. You know, sometimes we get a wrong impression of Jesus. We think that Jesus, being the Son of God and God in the flesh, because John tells us in chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We began to think about Him as being something super spiritual and supernatural in everything that He did. No, He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. But He was affected by the things going on around Him. When He looked at the multitudes, He had compassion on the multitudes. He didn't just stand up and say, if you do what I say, all this stuff won't happen to you. He didn't do that. He didn't start rubbing it in because you haven't done what I said. He didn't do that. He had compassion upon the multitudes. Excuse me. In this particular scripture I want to read this morning, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. And this is what He says. He brings a prophetic word. But He also says some things that I think God wants us to look at today. Verse 41. Now as He drew near, He saw the city and wept over it. And this is what He said. If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, But now they are hidden from you. If you'd have known the truth, things would be different. But now the things that you should have known are hidden from you. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side. What a negative word. But he's speaking prophetically about the city of Jerusalem. And he says, he goes on and he says, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you one stone upon another. My, what a prophetic word. But then he gives the reason, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Let me read that again. All of this, he says, will happen because you did not know your hour of visitation. Wow. I don't want to miss my hour of visitation. I don't want to miss my opportunities. That's one of the things that I guess when I look back at my life, that I can say that there have been times that I probably have missed the hour of visitation. But so many things that have happened in my life and our life as a couple in ministry have been because we didn't miss the hour of visitation. I was sharing with you just a few minutes ago about how that I met your pastor. And it was one of those things that a lot of people would call an accident. No, it wasn't an accident. It was an incident in God's timetable where God says, this is where I want you to be today. I'm changing the circumstances because I want you to meet a man who will open up doors. Well, he didn't say that to me, but I'm looking at God's plan that will open up doors of ministry that will be effective in your life, not just for a few weeks or a few months or for a few years, but for the rest of your ministry. And I believe that's what happened that day. I did not miss my hour of visitation. I did not miss what God was doing. I'm amazed that when I look back at things, let me just reminisce with you just for a moment. I'm not planning to do that the whole message. In fact, I had not really planned to do it at all. But I was sharing with your pastor yesterday about being in Montreal, Quebec, in Canada. We started going there about 24, 25 years ago. Went there in January one year, invited to go speak at a prophetic conference. I'm not talking about an end time prophetic conference. I'm talking about a prophetic conference and what I do because I'm a prophet. Got there and discovered I was the speaker for 3 days. There weren't any more speakers. I thought I was going to be a part of a team. Got there. I was the guy on board for 3 days, and so I had to say, all right, Lord, give me some messages, give me some things, you know, because I had, I think, one message a day. But as a result of that, the French world opened up because those people mainly speak French in Quebec and Canada. French world opened up. But I was preaching one night in a place in Montreal, long, narrow room. I remember when you were over here, it was sort of narrow, but it wasn't that long. It was a long, narrow room, about 30 feet wide and about 90 feet long. And it was SRO, as we say, standing room only. Wasn't any place for anybody else to sit. I got up to do my music and then go into the message. And whenever I was doing the music, two men came in and they set them in the seat that the pastor and I had been sitting in on stage. One of the men I knew, the other one I didn't know. When I get through preaching, the Spirit of the Lord said, turn around, prophesy to the man right behind you. I turned around. It was the man I did not know. I didn't even meet him that night. But I gave him a prophetic word. He went home. 6 months later, I get a fax from Switzerland saying, would you come for 3 weeks? The prophetic word that you gave me back there has come to pass. We want you to come. We want you to prophesy. We want you to minister to our people. We want you also, they gave us a vacation. 5 days in a vacation up in the top of the Alps where we could every morning look down in the valleys below to the Rhone River Valley, and oh, it was beautiful. But all because I didn't miss the hour of visitation. If I would have said that night, oh, I don't know him, I don't have a word for him, I didn't even know what the word was until I opened my mouth. But you see, this is how God works. And as a result of that word, then I said a while ago, the French world opened up. Yes, it did, to a point. But when he began to share what had happened to him and his influence in the rest of the French world, everything just began to open and open and open. I go to one more reminiscence here. One more. I go to South America with my wife. We were going to participate in a prophetic conference in Cartagena, Colombia. And so we go down there. And our friend, who was a spiritual son of mine, had invited us to go for that trip. So we go down. We do the conference. We're going to spend a few days on the beach and then come home, because that's up on the Caribbean coast. Beautiful sand, white sand beaches. Oh, it's beautiful. We were just going to do that and go home, just have a little vacation. And so when the conference is over, all these pastors who had come from Cali, Colombia up there, said, you guys have got to come to Cali. And so we left our wives on the beach. And we went to Cali. And as a result of that, and speaking one morning in one church, the whole nation of Colombia opened its doors to me, because I did not miss my hour of visitation. I just want to challenge you, if you don't get anything more out of this message today, don't be like the city of Jerusalem was in the hour when Jesus was ministering to them. Don't miss your hour of visitation, because I believe that that is so, so important. You see, people like us, you and me, when we came to Jesus, when we came to know him as Savior and Lord, everything changed. The problem is, everything changed in our lives, but if we are not careful, we go back to our old address, because that was comfortable. God's given us a new address. He's given us a new place to stay and place to live. But we keep going back and going back and say, but it's more comfortable back there. I remember when Jesus was talking about new wine and old wineskins. Do you remember that? He says you don't put new wine in old wineskins. But then in one of the references to that, Jesus added some words that didn't get quoted in the one that we use most of the time. What it says is, he said that because the old wine is better, because we like the taste of the old aged wine, because we're familiar with that. That's exactly what he was saying, and what the people who wrote interpreted his saying to be. You see, it's easy to go back to the old address. It's easy to go back to that which is comfortable. But I believe in this hour that God is visiting us, and he's opening up some doors for us to go into places and do some things that we've never done before. And I'm not just talking about Sherry and me, and I'm not just talking about your pastors. I'm talking about all of us, that God is giving us opportunities that we've never had before. He's putting things before us that we've never had an opportunity to do. And in fact, I call this a time of crossing over. Can I say that again?
Yes,
sir. I call this a time of crossing over. Crossing over out of the old into the new. There was a time when God was speaking to Joshua. Remember Joshua? Joshua was the man who followed up after Moses. He had been sort of like the understudy of Moses. He had been there as his right-hand man for all of these years. There was another one by the name of Caleb. I really love Caleb too. I like his name. I think it was Lillian Yeomans years ago wrote a little thing about Caleb, and she said, you know, his name meant dog. And as she said it, you know, I'm going to date myself real quick here. There was a, and it still is in existence in some form, a company called RCA Victor. RCA, Radio Corporation of America. You know, they're the ones that invented, well, they didn't invent it, but they manufactured the old Victrolas and things. You know, some of us are going to remember this. Some of us, you're going to say, huh? And you don't know what we're talking about. You see that CD player and that DVD player and those little thumb drives and then those little memory chips that are so convenient for all of us, they had an origin. The origin originally was on wire. They used to magnetize wire. And then they started cutting disc, and they had tubes, round tubes that, you know, the little stylus went stayed there, and the round tube turned. I'm talking way back. My way back machine has gone all the way back now. Hallelujah. But, you know, the emblem of RCA Victor was a dog sitting there at the bell of the recording machine, listening to his master's voice. That's what I like about Caleb. You see, if his name means dog, and I never have, by the way, looked up the name Caleb to see if that's what it meant, but that's what Lillian Yeoman said, and so it was good enough for me for a while. I can use it here today, and I can say that. All right, but here he is. He's like a dog listening to his master's voice. I like that. But we're talking about Joshua now. In the first chapter of Joshua, God begins to visit with Joshua. You see, Moses had been the man. He had been the one that had been the leader of Israel all of those years of wandering in the wilderness, and he was bringing them toward the promised land. And of course, we know what happened to Moses. Moses, according to the Joshua chapter 1, God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, this is your hour of visitation, Joshua. This is your time. All of that stuff in the past is over with. Don't go back there. Don't go back to that old address. Don't go back into those things." No. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore," and then he begins to instruct him what to do with that therefore. He says, "Now, therefore, rise up. You're going to take this people. You're going to cross over into that new place." That's why I call this message Crossing Over. We're going to cross over into our hour of visitation to see what God has. And he says in the fifth verse of that first chapter of Joshua, "Joshua, nobody." And I'm paraphrasing it. I didn't go there. I didn't have you look it up. I'm paraphrasing that fifth verse. He says, "But nobody is going to be able to stand against you. Nobody is going to be able to whip you. They're going to be able to defeat you. Nobody's going to be able to do this because you are my choice to take these people into the place that I have for them." I want you to know something today, Brother Kenny. You are God's choice, along with your wife Elaine, to take these people into the place that God has prepared for them. Don't miss your hour of visitation. In the third chapter of Joshua, again, I'm not going to take you there and read it. But in the third chapter of Joshua, God is speaking. He says, "Now you've come to this point. You're standing at the River Jordan. You're standing there. Everything else is behind you. All the past is behind you. It's been good. It's been glorious. Now I want you to do something." And we know what he wanted him to do. He wanted him to put his foot in the water. Take a step of faith. But he says to him in there, he says, "Now therefore, go do." Now I just paraphrased that whole first five verses right there. Go do. Why? Because it was God's time. It was God's time. I believe, and I prayed about the message for this morning very dearly. I wrote some things. That's why I had my iPad up here. And I think I'm following it. I just never have looked at it since I got up here. But the thing is that I believe that God is saying to you, it's a time to cross over into your future. It's a time to cross over and be the people of God that God created you to be. Now, here he speaks to Joshua. You're going to take these people in. You're going to take them in to this land. God is going to use this man and this woman to take you into the place that God has for you. We're talking about Joshua in chapter 3. He says, I want you to do this. You're going to step in. You're going to follow the Spirit of the Lord. You're going to do what God says. I believe that you're standing at that place right now for your future. And that this is an hour of visitation for you. Things have been good. I'm going to skip to the chase. Things have been good. You've enjoyed it. You've had all these 29 years that you have followed the Spirit of the Lord. You've followed the cloud. You've ate the manna. You've done all of those things. But I believe that you're really at a place where you're going to see God do some things you've never seen before. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, Paul is talking about the past, but he's also talking about the future. In the book of Philippians, and I want to make sure I get the right verse here, so hold on just a minute. Chapter 3, verse 8. It says, I got to go a couple of verses before that, before I read it. He's talking about himself, and he comes down to verse 4, and he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I the more so. Boy, he's talking about himself. He's talking about his experiences. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things I gain were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, and this is the verse I really want to zero in on. He says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I'm going to change the word. Is that all right? I'm going to change back to the old King James here just for a moment. See, I'm using New King James. It says rubbish. You know what the old King James says? Dung. You know what that is? You know what that is, don't you? I don't have to be specific about describing all of that. But you know what dung is. Do you know what Paul is saying here? He's saying everything that happened in my past, whether it was good, whether it was bad, I even take the good things that happened in my life and I create them as rubbish, or I treat them as rubbish, as dung, because they're over with. I can't go back and live there, but I use them to say God is propelling me forward to do the things that he's called me to do. My. You mean even the good things, you can't go back there and do them again. You can't go back and do that. That's over with. That's yesterday. That was old news. He's saying, I count it all as rubbish, or as dung. You know what's another term for that? Fertilizer. He says, all of my old experiences, all the things that have happened in my life, they're just fertilizer for my future. Now, wait a minute. Now, y'all don't get all spiritual on me and religious on me here. But that's true. When I look back at the experiences that I told you about a few minutes ago, and I had not even planned to mention those at all, but when I go back and I look at those things set the stage. That's the fertilizer. It makes it the land prepared so that something will grow, but it sets the stage for where God wants me to go. It sets the stage for where God wants you to go in his kingdom. Now, not long ago, God was speaking to me about some things. And I like how God speaks to me personally. He often uses very simple things. But he said this. He said, "Gene, I want you to put up your roadmap and get out your compass." You know what a compass is? I wish I had a compass to bring here this morning just to show you, just to remind you what a compass is. You know, north, south, east, and west, and all the other 360 degrees, and you hold it in your hand and put it on north where that point is just right on magnetic north. He says it's time to put away your roadmaps and get out your compass. Because you know what the roadmap is? Kenny, I want you to listen to this. You know what the roadmap is? That's where everybody's already been. That's why we got a map of it. Somebody's been there. Somebody surveyed it. Somebody laid out a road. Somebody did this. It's already been done. And the Lord said, put up your roadmap, Gene, and get out your compass. Begin to follow. And it's going to take you in places you have never been before. It's going to take you in places to do things you've never done before. It's going to take you to do things that you've never dreamed before. Because the compass is the Holy Spirit. Get out your compass, Gene. Get out your compass, Kenny, Elaine. Get out your compass. Church, I like that. Yeah. Amen. Get out your compass, church. And let's not follow the roadmap where everybody else has been. But let's follow the Spirit where God wants to lead us. What he wants to do with us. Why? Because he doesn't want us to miss our hour of visitation. Don't miss your hour of visitation. You know, it'd be real simple just to say, okay, we've got this plan, and this plan was given, let me drop some names here to you, okay? This plan was given to Kenneth Hagin. This plan over here was given to Billy Graham. This plan over here was given to Ken Copeland. This plan over here was given to Eugene May. This plan, and I could go on, he's picking out names. Mm-hmm. Am I criticizing those names? Not at all. Well, I appreciate every one of their ministries. But that was a plan God gave them. But you see, God's given a plan. He's given a vision. He's given a purpose for you. And it may not be what God said to Ken Hagin or Billy Graham or Eugene May. It's what God said to you, for you to do, for you to carry, and for you as a people to carry. You see, the roadmap is what God said to everybody else. And even what God said to you in the past. But God saying, my Spirit is moving. God spoke something else to me. And I may should have said this a little bit earlier, but I'm going to say it now, even though it might not sound like it fits. God said, Eugene, if your memories are greater than your dreams, mm-hmm. you've already begun to die. I want to say that again. If your memories are greater than your dreams, you've already begun to die. I've got good memories. I shared some of those with you. I couldn't believe that picture you had up there of Sherry and me. She used to be a blonde, I think, back in that day. I know she was. My coat fit a little better back then. But I've got good memories. But I want to tell you something. When God said that to me, I said, yes, Lord. Because I've got dreams. I've got visions. I've got purposes that God's put in my life that's going beyond my 70, almost 72 years that I'll be in just a couple of months. It's going beyond that. I was sitting in the airport in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, a few years ago. Sherry and I had checked in for our flight back to Florida. We were sitting there holding hands and talking in the airport. Is that okay? Suddenly, a wheelchair came in. Came right across in front of us. The man in the wheelchair got up and sat down in the chair. Young man sat beside of him. They wheeled the wheelchair over to the side. I looked at that old man, and he was old. I looked at that old man, and I said to myself, I know who that is. I heard his voice, and then I knew who it was. It was Art Linkletter. For you young folks, you have no clue about what I just said. Yeah, I gave that name. Art Linkletter used to have a thing on TV back in the early days and before that on radio. And the thing that he really enjoyed doing was the thing with the children. And he said, kids say the darndest things. And he wrote a book about that. And he used all these things that kids used to say. And he'd interview them. You know, what mom and dad tell you not to say on this program today? And they would tell him exactly what mom and dad said not to say. Yeah. So he's sitting over there, and I recognize him, but I didn't say anything. I'm not one of these guys that's running up and saying, give me your autograph. I didn't do that. I almost wish I did. But I didn't do it. He's sitting over there. Sherry and I were holding hands. And right in the middle of his conversation with this young man, he stopped and looked straight at us and said, you know, it's illegal to hold hands in the airport. Well, at that time, we'd been married 44 years. And I said to him, and this is exactly what I said. I said, well, we've just been married 44 years. I think it's okay for me to hold her hand in the airport. And he said, my wife and I, at 44 years, we're still on our honeymoon. I like that. Amen. But then he said to me, he said, I have speaking engagements on my calendar after my 100th birthday. He was 97. Gene, if your memories are greater than your dreams, you've already begun to die. That's what God said. I'm going to say Kenny, Elaine. I'm going to say church. Amen. If your memories are greater than your dreams, your vision, your goal, your purpose in life, you've already begun to die. This is a time of crossing over. This is a time, going back to Joshua chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 3, as I talked about a few moments ago, this is a time when God would say to Joshua, now, therefore, put your foot in the water. Watch the water part and go over into the promised land that God's had for you. You know, anniversaries are nothing more than just a mile marker in history. That's all they are. But I want to tell you, we can use them for more than that. We can use them for challenges. Challenges for the future. Sherry and I last December celebrated 50 years of marriage. 50 years. You know, we ought to be slowing down. But we're not. Why? Because I don't want to miss my hour of visitation. you don't want to miss the hour of visitation. Well, folks, that's my message for this morning. Never did get back to my iPad. But that's my message for this morning. Don't miss your hour of visitation. This is a time when God is saying to you, come on, let's cross over Jordan and let's go into the promised land. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, that's it. The end of the message.